And now, Icon Art Radio.
Hi, it's Bill Teeple for Icon Art Radio with Donna Colby and Alan Cobb. And today we have a special guest, John Stimson. And he's got some ideas to throw out, so throw some of them out.
Well, thank you, Bill. A lot of talk goes on about art because it's fun to talk about art and beauty. It's fun to talk about those things. It's a temptation to substitute them for perhaps art itself, thoughts about art and art itself, very similar to life itself. You can talk about life. You can engage in talking about relationships or religion or anything, and as long as you don't mistake those conversations or thoughts for being life itself, then it's just a fun subject to talk about. So let's have some fun talking about art and beauty. It's also, of course, a disclaimer is that these are personal thoughts and views rather than proclamations, rather than declarations about what is true.
Thoughts from the world mind.
Yes. Yeah.
So can I jump in with a question?
Sure.
Right here?
Absolutely.
I would like to know what your, this is kind of a huge question, but what is your definition of art and beauty, and what's the difference between the two?
Ah, okay. Definitions, that's the tricky problem. When you're dealing with art and beauty, definitions are essentially the blind spot that make you not see art and beauty. So I prefer, rather than defining art and beauty, to ask the question, what is art? What is beauty? Because that more closely points to the direction of what is art and beauty than any answer that you could give.
So, John, what is art and what is beauty?
Correct.
It's sort of like looking at a very faint star in the sky. You have to look next to it. If you look right at it, all you see is the optic chiasm.
Right.
Yeah. So let's enter that road.
But they are two of my favorite subjects. In fact, they are my favorite subjects, both of them. And I can't talk about art without talking about beauty,
right,
whatever art is and whatever beauty is. But they are real things.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I would distinguish them in one sense, and that is that art is the creation of beauty, then that beauty is the result of art.
Wait, say that again?
Art is the process of creation of beauty, and that beauty is the result of creating, of the art process.
But beauty exists without an art process.
Oh, does it?
Mm, yes.
Good question. Or statement.
Does beauty exist without being created?
Mm-hmm. Either tacitly by the human hand, or as a process, as an artistic process of seeing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the process of creation, is that just a process, an ongoing process, and beauty is something that we bring to it as humans, as part of it, witnessing it, reflecting it, and reflecting on it?
The asking of the question is closer to the answer than anything I could give, because beauty cannot be limited to a definition. Beauty is the answer. Beauty is the answer, not any verbal concoction that you could come to try to isolate or define beauty. Beauty is the answer to that question.
So are you saying beauty is like a feeling or a kind of perception? Like, for example, when somebody looks at a beautiful sunset that's turning from orange to gold to purple to pink, pretty much everybody agrees that that's beautiful. Some people like it more than others. Some people could just be absorbed in their thoughts and not even notice that that's going on. So in that experience of something kind of universally considered beautiful, what is it that makes it beautiful? Is it the colors themselves and, you know, some aesthetic? Or is it that we've been told sunsets are beautiful? Or what is it that makes it beautiful?
That's a very good question. And again, the question is the important thing. In pointing to a direction of an answer, I would say that it is a very, very personal thing, and it must remain so, such that if you try to make it a universal, that is to say, if you try to make laws of beauty, that is akin to trying to make laws of spirituality. Spirituality is one's very personal connection with God, and art is one's very personal connection with beauty. So I would say that the appreciation of something as universally admired as a sunset does not disqualify the fact that the personal experience of beauty must remain personal, individual.
Now, in the beginning, you say it again, what you said about art and beauty. Art is the...
Art is a process. Beauty is the result.
But is beauty and always part of the process of art?
I would not define art as merely the act of the human hand creating an object or manipulating an object in such a way that it becomes different from what it was. Art is also very, very intimately a process of seeing beauty. And it is the primary art process, is seeing beauty in the first place. And it is a process. In other words, reality as we perceive it requires a process in order to result in the experience of beauty. That's my personal experience. That there is an isness about the universe, about reality, that simply is, and it is not either beautiful or unbeautiful. To say that one thing is beautiful and another thing is not, that's almost a crime, because anything in creation has the potential to be beautiful. It is perception that makes it so.
So if a tree falls in the woods and there's beautiful. No one there, is that art?
If one does not know that a tree has fallen, then perhaps there is no art. But if one suspects even that a tree has fallen,
right,
then there is art.
So in what you just said about the art and beauty, in the creation of art, beauty is an inherent aim or direction. Are you saying that it's not possible to call something art if it's not considered beautiful by at least somebody?
I'm going to make another distinction, and that is that art is not the property of any one person, nor is it the nor is it entirely disembodied. And the art impulse starts from a desire for beauty. And even if the final result, even if the finished, let's say, painting or drawing is not perceived to be beautiful, the art process started, the impulse started from the correct place, that is to say, the impulse to create beauty. Otherwise, it would not have started at all, or it would not be an art impulse. The art impulse, in this case, starts and is given its name of art because of its intention.
So what about an artist, though, whose intention is to create shock or incongruity or powerful emotion that isn't necessarily beautiful, but
Does it make him smile if he succeeds?
Yeah, but, well, I'd like to backtrack one step and then take this one on, because this is where I was headed. But you just said something that I want to clarify.
Okay.
Or I think you did. An artist sets out to paint a beautiful landscape and he's unsuccessful.
Right.
It's like very poorly done.
Right.
So the process started with the approach towards beauty.
Right.
Now he might declare that he has failed.
Right.
Now someone else could come along and see the failure as perfectly beautiful in its failure.
Correct.
Because it's innocent and it contains all these sort of like missing the point so beautifully and all of this.
That's
now,
fine.
Is there no beauty from the side of the artist because he failed, but the other person sees beauty because in his mind it's beautiful?
I would say that two art events happened. The first was the impulse of the artist to try to create beauty. The second art impulse was of the viewer, that particular viewer who said, I see beauty in this failed painting. Two art events took place. Okay.
So this pursuit of and unleashing and capturing and it eluding and this love affair with beauty seems to be what this art process is all about.
Yes, very much
we
so.
We love it.
Yeah.
Now let's go to this thing of something that's ghastly,
yes.
You know, the crucifix in urine.
Right. Okay. Something like that, an artist or a person who is manipulating objects, I will say this, a person who has an intention and is manipulating objects has to be honest at that point and say, who am I being here? Am I being an artist or am I being someone who merely wants to create a stir? In order to call oneself an artist, one has to know personally, not by any schoolbook definition, what is art to that person. In other words, to me, I know in myself, non-verbally, what art is. I just know. It is a state of knowingness, I would say. Therefore, when I come out with an art impulse, it is from that source. It's from that intention. If a person deliberately sets out to create a shock or stir, that person needs to ask himself or herself, am I being an artist or am I being something else?
But that person, I'm sure, thinks he's an artist and sees the role of the artist. In fact, he probably denigrates pretty pictures. And he feels that he's created really powerful and pure and transforming art because he's made the perfect goad, the perfect thing to stir.
In that case, then, either the art impulse is still intact because there's that sense of perfect. perfect
expression of what he wanted to say.
Exactly.
Like Picasso's Guernica, for example, is a good example of that, which you stand before that painting and you're just bowled over by the images and the message, but you know, it's certainly not a pretty picture. That would make it a successful to its intention.
Isn't it interesting that we have learned to perceive Renaissance portraits of a man being tortured to death as beautiful?
We have.
Well, many of us have. I mean,
It is in the classic aesthetic.
Yeah, yes. You know, the classic portrayals of the crucifixion. Yeah.
With emphasis on fiction.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the lasting emphasis was on the cruci.
Right.
But it's something that has a cultural meaning that has been expressed by the artist along with the colors and shapes.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of them as beautiful. I wouldn't put that word to those.
Yeah, well, I think some of them are pretty beautiful.
It's the style of painting often is.
Yeah.
So we've got both the abstract formal experience and we've got what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's become so conventional that we're looking at a person, you know, suffering and dying on a cross that we don't even, that it doesn't register any.
Right.
If we're an art critic and looking at it from the point of view of aesthetics.
Right.
Which is...
Well, and here we're now dividing art into, you know, content and something else.
But it all starts with an impulse, an intention.
Right.
And it may very well be that some person had a truly sublime religious experience and felt the compulsion somehow to depict that.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And there are ways of looking at the crucifixion that are not, that don't dwell on the gross level of it being someone tortured to death.
Right. So now here is my dividing line. I would say that the dividing line of art, non-art, starts to manifest itself when the artist in making, let's say, a painting or other form of art is answering the question rather than asking the question.
Okay.
In other words, if an artist has such a brash and egotistical standpoint as to declare that I am an artist, I know what art is, and whatever I create or whatever I set out to do is art, then that limits and reduces art terribly.
Well, I think it very well sums up what's going on in the art world today.
Exactly, yes. It reduces it terribly. I like to look at the amorphous concept of art as being very much like a living entity, very human in a way. If you look at any human entity, the last thing that entity wants is to be limited, to have its freedom limited. Art likes to be identified. Art likes to have an identity, but not to be identified. Art is also a shared entity. In other words, you can say more or less that each of us has an aspect of our personality, of our persona, that is the artist. That is the reason that art is a universal experience at all is that there is a commonality of that entity. There's a little bit of that entity in each of us.
In every person, not just people who are called artists.
Right, exactly. But the people who are called artists are the ones who assume that identity. In other words, they sublimate their own persona and take on the qualities of the persona of quote-unquote art.
So why do you think that is? Why do you think some people are moved irresistibly to express these
larger
these things it's in some form, right. And some people don't have any need at all.
Well, definitely the individual nervous systems, individual human lives lend themselves more to either an artistic or scientific expression or a business expression. The art entity has a particular personality that is kind of rascally. And there's something about artists that are true artists that are almost always rascally. And
they like to break boundaries to be creative, which is being creative is breaking boundaries.
Exactly.
Creating.
Exactly. But in order to create something, something else has to be destroyed. So artists are at first destroyers and then creators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the art of the deal?
I mean,
you start talking about scientists. What about the perfect
or the
perfect logic that the scientist achieves to get to a goal?
Right. The first time that it happens, in other words, the very first creation of a new scientific method or a new style of business, anything like that, it's an art because it's a boundary breaking. It is the destruction of an old pattern, and it results in something that is marvelous.
Because that's what, you know, when you were saying before about the person, the two art events where somebody creates a painting and then the person looks at, because scientists, when you read many of their descriptions about some discovery that they or someone else made, they're like lyrical and poetic and highly emotional.
Yeah.
So I suppose that you could say that's a, they are being an artist in that moment of having that blissful experience in perceiving what they've just discovered.
So transcending the categories of artist, quote, scientist, businessman, like that, now we're talking about this process being one that is accomplished by those who are destroyer creators.
Right. Yes.
In whatever. Place in life.
I would say distillation, though, of what makes an artist, that is to say a person who is a creator of artifacts, is that those artifacts have the pure intention or pure function, I would say, of illustrating art itself, rather than being beautiful in accomplishing something else.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay.
That's why I seem to have chosen that area of life.
Right.
Because I like to just celebrate art itself.
Very good. Yes. And art is only one of many wonderful things in life that can be celebrated. For instance, even something that is classically held in, let's say, contention of artists, and that is money. Okay, now money itself is not intrinsically ugly. There's nothing intrinsically ugly about it, and yet the kinds of logic and paring down of human dignity that result in the acquisition of money can sometimes result in something unbeautiful. But the art of making money is no less of an art. If it results in an increased quality of life all around, quality of life is pretty much the distillation of what art is about. It can be as abstract as having the quality of life that enables one to see beauty everywhere. That is a very high quality of life. If, on the other hand, one gathers...
Which I think is the natural development of higher levels of awareness.
Yes, yeah. If one acquires loads and loads of material goods and cannot see the beauty in any of them, well, that's a very sad life indeed. It's a very low quality of life, indeed.
I think the this quality of life thing also relates back to what you were saying before about the purpose of art being the expression of some particular thing, because I think in creating a work of art, whatever it is, if it's whether it's a meal or a painting or what, there is it's not just bare expression, it's also a kind of dialogue. It's like you begin to
connection.
Paint, put some colors on a canvas, let's say, and those colors, you know, kind of speak to you and guide you to the next step.
Right.
So I think that also is a beautiful relationship that that an artist has with beauty or with his or her creation.
And not only with the creation, but also the impulse to share that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are very few artists who are selfish enough to create works of art that are not seen by anyone else. There's always that impulse. It's a sharing.
From the age of how old, 2 years old or something, Mommy, look, look.
Right.
So what I think we're getting at here is that this world that we call the art world and the world of artists is really an attempt to create manifestations that speak directly of beauty.
That point in the direction of beauty so that one can be reminded that beauty is elusive and yet it's everywhere.
That's a good point. I think we should continue this next week.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see you all again next week.
You'll hear us.
You'll hear us all again next week. We'll hear you all next week.
We've been
week.
Talking with John Stimson, by the way.
By the way, that's my third last name.
Listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.